Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Into the 11 o'clock hour, it's Cody and Gold. We'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in just a little bit. We've got an update on our Creed Humphrey Rookie of the Year campaign and where we're at on the video. Getting very close. You probably already saw the teaser video from Scott Stapp. We played a little bit of it on the show yesterday as well. So we've got some more updates on that coming up in just a little bit also. So The Athletic put out their biggest problems for every team in the NFL remaining for the rest of the season. And it just illustrates where the Chiefs are now compared to where they were a month and a half ago. Like, their answer for the biggest problem for Kansas City: sub packages.
I mean, that's digging deep, man.
The personnel and how they utilize sub packages.
Like, they're still fixed on Dan Sorensen's usage. Guy plays 40% of the snaps.
A month ago, roughly. Can't get pressure on the quarterback. Mahomes is broken. Don't have a third option. Is Andy Reid not calling the game correctly? Spags, like, all, everything, like, legitimate problems.
Been a long list of problem areas.
Now we're at the point where it's like, the sub packages really, they could really be more effective and have the right personnel on the field for those. Like, good problem to have. Other teams now have the problems that you would expect to hear. You talk about Tennessee. Well, right now they have their quarterbacks playing like crap, and they have all these guys hurt. That's a real problem. That's a major problem. Sub packages. Okay. Can live with that.
Like, if that is legitimately your biggest problem, then we are right back to the same conversation I think we had after about 3 weeks of the regular season, which was all these other teams have real problems and you don't. Are we back there already with this team? Here are some of the other answers, by the way. Cardinals, their entire run defense, attacking on there, teams average almost 5 yards per carry against them. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers' toe. Maybe you're saying that's a real problem because if it's affecting his play, big deal. At least with the Bucs, here's another one. Like, third down defense. That to me is like not a real problem, right? Like, or at least borderline. Like, the Patriots can't score in the red zone. They're one of the worst teams in the league, with the Ravens, consistent quarterback play. The Bills have massive offensive line issues. And these are the ways that they're put on there, right? Teams with real issues. If legitimately the Chiefs' biggest concern is sub packages the rest of the way, then we're there. The problem is it's not. Their biggest concern, their biggest problem area is, will the pass rush continue?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's their actual problem. We can pretend like that solved. The Athletic can pretend like that solved. I'd like to pretend like that solved. But if you want to know what, like, hey, let's rack up every team's real serious problems, that's still Kansas City's real serious problem. It just isn't right now. They're doing a really good job getting to the quarterback. They've rushed the quarterback. They're not perfect at it, but they've done an effective job, but they could backslide there.
Yeah.
That's what's real about it.
Is Chris Jones going to continue to play at a Pro Bowl level like he has the last month? Is Frank Clark going to stay healthy? Yeah. Is all as part of that? I mean, all within that potential problem is Chris Jones' play, Frank Clark staying healthy. Melvin Ingram has had a great impact, even though it was fun. And Nick had brought up the stat. Melvin Ingram, we all would agree, has had a great impact.
He's like three sacks.
But he has zero sacks.
Zero sacks and
barely any tackles. But we all know, watching the game, that he's had an impact. Right? Is that going to keep up? And as much credit as we've already given Rashad Fenton on the show today, like, what happens when the pass rush stops? How does he look once they're not getting pressure?
Well, not as good.
How does L'Jarius Sneed look? Exactly. So it really, that is still the biggest question the rest of the season for Kansas City. I'm with you. It is, does the pass rush keep up?
Because even if a month ago you'd have been like, well, they got problems offensively because they look kind of out of sync. They don't look nearly as out of sync lately. They do still have drop problems. I don't know if you guys saw like more stats coming up. Like the last 3 weeks.
Kelsey and Hill.
Hill costing you like 40 points the last 3 weeks of the regular season because an expected points. And I get that that's not, even if you say it's half, that's a lot of points over the last 3 weeks you've left on the table because of picks, because of dropped passes. So yeah, sure, the drops are still a problem. Like they have, but that's the thing. I have not come full circle on where we were just like 3 weeks into the season where it was easy to look at other teams and be like, they all have real questions. Either at quarterback, because like at that time, remember, we were like, hey, can Josh Allen be MVP Josh Allen? That was the biggest question I had with the Bills. That remains my biggest question about the Bills. Can Josh Allen be last year's Josh Allen? Because right now he looks like last year's Josh Allen plus first year Josh Allen divided by two. So he's like, he's not as bad as first year Josh Allen, but he's not as good as last year's Josh Allen. He's in the middle, right? He ends up being like the guy who's between those two guys is how it starts to feel. Like you could say the same thing about Lamar Jackson, consistent quarterback play, ability to get the ball deep. You know, they've passed the ball significantly better, but they do still have questions. Like with the Chiefs, I do still think it's a lot of little problems, but they are still there. And the pass rush is still a big looming one if they don't maintain the level in which they've performed.
Yeah, I just look at the Chiefs' spot. The turn, though, that they've made, we've all known they've made the turn, but just to see like the acknowledgement of their biggest problems, yes, it's almost sure. As you said, it's a potential problem. It's not an existing problem. Before, there were four things going wrong at once. Now, there's still some question whether or not the problems can come back, but they've at least masked them. And I still think so much of it is going to be predicated on the health of Frank Clark. I know Chris Jones has been great, but if Frank Clark suddenly got hurt or wasn't feeling right like we know he is right now and has the swagger back and all of that, then it puts way more pressure on Chris Jones, and it's a lot easier to attack this defense because then you can really key in on Chris Jones, and then all of a sudden Melvin Ingram you're really relying on even more, not just to be a supplementary piece, but then you're asking Melvin Ingram to be your true edge rusher. That's why so much is Frank Clark, can he stay healthy? And if he does, I think this pass rush will be able to stay up.
You know another one that could have ended up on the list for a big chunk of the season? Ball security.
Very true.
So over the last, I did the math, over the last five games, because you might still think the Chiefs give the ball away too much, over the last five games, Patrick Mahomes is averaging what would equate to a 9-interception season in a 16-game schedule. So, right where he was.
We have our pending wheel spin out there.
Right
over
where he was.
Under 18.5 interceptions this year for Mahomes. He's at 11 six games to go. I mean, this is going to be close.
But over the last five games, he's not averaging that. He's averaging half that rate.
I know. It's just he got off to such a bad start interception-wise.
Yeah. Well, which is why I feel good that he's not going to continue the pace at which he was currently
at. I think it's going to be close. Like, I don't think one way. I still think
it's going to be like 14.
Like, I don't think he's going to throw 20, but I also don't think he's only throwing 14. Like, I think this is going to finish between that 15 to 19 range. I think it's going to be very close. I think he's going to finish with either 15 to 19 interceptions this year, just because there's still going to be some games where he makes some mistakes. It's just going to happen.
Like, to me, there's plenty of things that would have been on this list for a long time. And there are things to say, okay, the majority of those big problems are kind of put behind them, and now they're small problems. But they're not back at the same stage we were at earlier this year. We were having that conversation that everyone has real problems and they don't. Like, to me, it just that is no longer the conversation with this Chiefs team. Nor should it be. And that's okay. They're still one of the best teams in the AFC. They're just not so much further night and day better like they were at times in their Super Bowl year in 2019, certainly when they got hot, and what they were for a majority of 2020, to be honest. There was a clear separation between them and everyone else. And I just think it's a lot tighter, and the AFC is obviously showing that pretty much every week, right? It's such a mess. The AFC is such a mess. It's going to be an entertaining and fascinating final 6 weeks of the season.
This is why NFL's king. Like, I mean, it sets up. We say maybe you didn't like the additional game, but that additional week in the season, for as tight as the AFC is, it sets up perfectly for the NFL. And even this is the decisions that they make. The Chiefs getting flexed to Sunday Night Football turned out to be a genius decision by NBC and the NFL. Now it's first place in the AFC West on the line for Sunday Night Football when it was the Seahawks before. They could have gone to Chargers and Bengals if they wanted to, but they chose Chiefs-Broncos, first place in the AFC, up for grabs, rivalry week between the Broncos and the Chiefs.
I think, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of this is cycling back to where we are with the Chiefs pretty much in any given year, but that's where we kind of head into this. But it's the time of the week, Gold, that you know we have to do. We have to talk about what lines we could do, which means we bring in our BetQL insider, Nick. Great get, by the way. Incredible booking this week. Have we had Quinton Mayo? Have we had Chelsea? Of course, but this week we are giving BetQL insider Alex Gold. Insider calls brought to you by BetQL. He's the host of Sunday Spread and the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Alex Gold calls brought to you by BetQL. Get access to the data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Alex, thank you for joining us.
Always love coming on with you guys. Really appreciate it.
Really, really generous of you to be talking about this. There's a lot of things going into it. First, I want to start with the coaching carousel because this seems kind of insane to me. OU is fighting for a playoff spot, and the College Football Playoff Committee has already done the dumbest thing ever and said that somehow the coach you have is going to factor into the decision, which is egregious. But we also found out yesterday Bob Stoops is getting paid $325,000 to coach a single game, so clearly I should bet them to cover the spread, right? Based on that alone. He's paying $300,000. He's really going to put his effort into it. That's the way I'm looking at this.
Well, we don't even know for Oklahoma. We have no idea who Oklahoma's going to play. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm betting them to cover no matter what.
Oh, no matter what.
No matter what.
I cannot endorse that advice.
No matter what they're covering.
On a team, no matter what. No matter the opponent, no matter what the spread is.
You're saying that's not how you handle your gambling.
No, I'll get back to you once we know what bowl game actually Oklahoma is in.
Fine.
But the $325,000 for one bowl game, I know he's got to do recruiting for the next month or so. That comes out to what, if you were to do a year salary, what is that, like $3.2 million or $3.6 million? That's insane. Bob Stoops like, sure, I'll come back and help you guys. Think about that. He was in the booth.
For a cool third of a mil.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the way it works. Let's talk about real games. Chiefs, 9.5 point. We know that they have been horrible. I mean, horrible covering the spread this year.
Yeah, they've struggled.
So I assume you're just going to tell us to bet the Broncos.
Well, so you're right on against the spread. I mean, they've been 4-7 this year, and we've talked about on this show, and when you guys have had me on your show, about the Chiefs against the spread the last year or so. It's just not something they've been all that effective, where the Broncos are 6-5 against the spread. But the bye week, this is what's been talked about nationally, I'm sure, on your show here in Kansas City,
always,
Cody, all the time, is after the bye week and Andy Reid's success post bye week. And not just straight up wins, because straight up with wins, he's 10-4 post bye week. But against the spread, he's 7-5 against the spread off of bye weeks. This game was 10 points at one point. The Broncos were 10 point dogs. It's gotten down to 9.5. I actually like the Broncos to cover the spread here. The Broncos coming off a win, feeling very good. This isn't, to me, one of those. They're not playing a non-divisional opponent where you're like, oh, it's a letdown. You just had a big win against a divisional opponent. No, they're well aware. You've heard the comments from Bradley Chubb and Justin Simmons and Vic Fangio. They're well aware of losing 11 straight to Kansas City. So I like the Broncos actually in this spot. Kansas City has not put away that many teams other than what? Philadelphia, maybe Washington to a certain extent. That's just not something the Raiders on Sunday Night Football in that game where the offense blew out. I don't think the Chiefs' offense is in a spot to really blow out anybody still. And so the Broncos have been able to stay close with opponents. I actually like Denver to cover the 9.5. You can get it at 10, even better.
If we're looking to bet tonight, Cowboys, New Orleans, -4.5 for the Cowboys. If I have this right, I think New Orleans is out there starting quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, corner. They might be missing their entire team. It's only 4.5 points. The Cowboys lose two games in a row. We're just like, nah, they're not a touchdown favorite anymore against a not good team.
So everybody's thinking what you're thinking. Like, okay, all those guys are out. I love it at 4.5. So guess what's happened since we've been on the air today? The line has gone up. The Cowboys are now 6-point favorites. So
Whoa.
A little less value there for you overall. But yeah, you look at the playmakers. They're not existent for New Orleans right here.
They're starting Taysom Hill.
Certainly loved the Cowboys at -4 than I would at 6. Although I think you still consider it. Maybe this is an opportunity if you're into teasing. For those that don't know what that is, you can do a teaser. You can tease the Cowboys down to a pick'em and pair it up with another NFL game or perhaps the Georgia game. If you believe Georgia and Dallas are both going to win. So I have Georgia and Dallas in a pick'em, in a teaser. So it knocks down the Cowboys to a pick'em and Georgia to a 0.5 point.
Joined right now by our BetQL insider, Alex Gold. He's available on Sunday, or Sundays, right? You can hear your show on Sunday? You can let me know.
Saturdays.
Damn it.
8 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch, on BetQL app, the Bet 1660, you name it. Yeah.
Okay. It's across the board. Plus, he's filling in some other shows, so pretty much available all the time.
I'll be on Saturday morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Last game I want to ask you about. Chargers plus +3 at Cincinnati. I assume you've got this on your early board. It's just one of those games I want to bet because I'm interested in the game itself.
Yeah, the Chargers have not been playing well, to say the least. We all saw what just happened to the Denver Broncos. But the Bengals, are they at a point now where you're that confident in the Bengals? I think you got to take the team with the points here. So I'll go ahead and take the Chargers to cover the 3.5 in this game. The Bengals closed as 3.5-point favorites against the Steelers at home this past week, and we know that Steelers and Chargers, as we've discussed, are not on the same level. No matter how down you are on the Chargers, we know that Justin Herbert and the Chargers are a much better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. This should be like a pick'em, if you want. I think this game should be a pick'em, so I like the value on the Chargers in this game.
If they don't win money on this, would you like to at least let them know one other way they can win money with, let's call it BetQL, but technically it's Odyssey? You want to tell them about your other way you gamble? This is really why we have you on, just to talk about gambling stuff.
Yeah, I mean, overall tonight, the prop bet I like, if you're talking about that, for CeeDee Lamb. So they get the full complement of offensive players back. This is the first time all year they've had their left tackle, their quarterback, their number one receiver, Amari Cooper, and their number two receiver, CeeDee Lamb. The first time all season. So I like them in this spot tonight, over 63.5 receiving yards. I don't think Cooper has a big game because he's still with some symptoms of COVID. I love CeeDee Lamb tonight, over 63.5. receiving yards.
Again, you can catch him as the host of the Sunday Spread and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Al Skull. Thank you for the time.
Always good to come on with you guys. I really appreciate it. I'm excited about your Creed movement, too. I've heard a lot about it. Creed, hashtag Creed is good. It's been making the rounds as well.
Speaking of the hashtag Creed is good movement, you might be wondering why I was gone for the first 3 days of this week, and you might think that was associated with, time off of the holidays, time to spend with the family. No. Nope, had nothing to do with that. What I actually needed was days. Hours. If I could take a month, I'd take a month.
A month?
To plan the hashtag Creed is good video. If for some reason you're just now hearing about this.
Where have you been?
When you were gone, where have you been? But when you were gone, Gold, Nick and I, right before the show, decided there were probably 50 heroes of this radio listening program who would be willing to give us $6.10 to pay Scott Stapp to do a preview video for our video. And if they paid for him, we agreed that we would do a shot-for-shot remake of the Creed Higher halftime performance as a reward for helping us get Scott Stapp. You did that. Since then, I'm happy to report that the total budget, including paying Scott Stapp, is around $3,000. So
it's
you can imagine.
It's amazing support.
Incredible support. $3,000 for this video is utterly absurd. But also, that means you have expectations, and we want to meet those. So over the last 3 days, some of the things that I've been procuring is an ability to do aerial acrobatic shots. Like, you know, there's a guy flying down on the ribbon. At first, we talked about a green screen, but we have a real budget now. So I'm working on putting someone in the air.
The zip line is secured.
The zip line is secured, and that will be taking place. We're working with a local high school to try to get a full-blown field for us to shoot this thing on, including a stage. Like, there's a lot of working parts. So if you're curious what I've been up to, it's mostly been that. Because the amount of financial support we got meant we could only do it one way, and that's big.
Can we vote Creed higher?
Here's one of the problems we're running into. So, booking people is difficult. And we might ask eventually for fans' help. Trust me, put people in the stands, or even if you don't want to, it doesn't, there's cheerleaders in the video. Really, any people moving at that point will probably work. So we might be asking for some help. Shooting. The time in which to do it is a very narrow margin, fellas. You want to talk through this? Let's think about this. Next week.
Mm-hmm. We got to be careful here.
So 2 weeks from now.
Be careful what you're about to
do. Hold on. 2 weeks from now is Thursday Night Football. The game after Thursday Night Football, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. Then school goes on break. It does not work as well for the high school during that stretch of time. The week after that is Christmas. Impossible. The week after that is the first week of January. It also happens to be still in school break and the final week of the regular season. Now we're pushing ourselves so far down the line, things are becoming very difficult because we know you need this video sooner rather than later. We need this done by the end of the regular season, and we're running out of time, which means next week is the most logical time to shoot this.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fine. We'll do it on a Saturday. No problem.
That day is not available. The day that is available is Friday, December 10th.
Oh, we'll run there after the show.
Not enough light, as I am told, from professional videographers.
Alex, you've clearly never been a part of a professional video shoot.
So
lighting is everything, man.
So 2:30 is a problem, which means we probably need to do it. Let's call it 10-ish, 11-ish.
What time's our show? What time's our
show?
Major
conflict.
What time's our show? I believe there's a 4-hour show we all do from 10 to 2.
Cody and Gold.
So I think, I don't know, other bosses handle this in other industries. I think we need to ask for the day off.
We have to ask our boss off.
Yeah. I think we need the day off.
The day before KUMU, the Friday before the Raiders and Chiefs game.
Look, I don't want to get into that. Don't mention those things in the argument.
Let's get into that,
actually. That's not going to help us. No. We can talk about all those things on Thursday.
Let's get into that. The Raiders suck. Missouri sucks. Those games are both going to be blowouts.
Problem solved.
Do we really need to be here? Do we really need to do
this? It's not about doing this to skip work. I'm just working somewhere else. If you look at it that way, really I'm not asking for a favor at all. I'm just asking to move my job to a different location.
That's a really good point.
Can we just live broadcast the taping of this?
For 4 hours?
Can we just have live check-ins?
We'll
see if Bink can host the show, but then we get some live updates from us live out there shooting the halftime rendition.
Think about it. How many days a year do we work? So many. It's like that old Jerry Seinfeld bit. It's like his mother always told him she was worried about him eating dessert before dinner. You're going to ruin your appetite. He goes, what's the big deal? I've had a million appetites. I'll have another one.
Right. There'll be a million other days to
work. We'll have a million
work.
Other shows. What's one?
One to accomplish something great. I mean, that's how you have to really look at this. Again, I'm not asking for the day off of work. It's not like I'm just going to go take my kids to the zoo. All I'm saying is that I need the day off to shoot a massive video project that now has a $3,000 budget.
If you think
next Friday's show has a $3,000 budget, you are very wrong. Even if you include what an average day's salary for all of us, we're nowhere close.
Text line, at 10 o'clock on a Friday, your fans are going to be 67-plus-year-olds. Someone saying that we have to do it during the day, not just for lighting. But the school is going to help us with the band perhaps getting involved.
Yeah. And their availability for some of the students comes right after that time. They can come right after school to finish up the video shoot for the parts that we need. People who bear flags. Turns out the school has that. Mm-hmm. The riser, the teachers. It turns out they don't like showing up on Sundays.
It's as simple as this. Next Friday from 10 to 2 is the best time for us to get this video done the right way.
It's the only time.
That's it.
It's the time.
Has to happen.
I painstakingly went across went through the schedule. Like, I'm looking for times, right? What works? Just so you know, everyone has agreed to this. The school's allowed to let us on school property during school hours to
shoot
this thing.
Which was big, because Nick, we're usually not allowed near schools. It was very important.
But they offered a concession, so we're
good. Yeah, during school hours, no
less. Definitely.
But they've offered to help set up the stage and bring the people, and everything sounds like, and our videographer. Yeah, we're hiring a professional videographer. He is available that day, and he's available for the other shoot day that would be taking place on the zip line to help do that. Everything is available except for one little tiny itsy bitsy little baby favor we need, which is the entire show to be off next Friday.
Which, by the way, we have not even broached this subject with the person who will actually make this decision.
This is the first time he'll hear about it.
That's right.
Honest question for both you guys. Is there any chance he will give us
50-50?
I don't think it's 50-50.
50-50? That is incredibly optimistic.
I don't think it's 50-50. I think we got about a 20 to 25% chance of him saying, yep, I'll have the Friday before Chiefs Raiders. I'll go ahead and give you guys the day off.
Let's peel back the curtain. First, we'll just crush it those first 4 days.
Yeah.
We'll bring everything, right? Just hit after hit after hit. I'll give you my A effort.
Can the school not just turn
what
on the lights?
What have you been
can
giving
the schools
us?
Turn? Can the school?
See, yeah. Like,
can the school just turn on the lights? Would that help with the lighting? Text line's wondering. Can the school just turn the field lights on?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't asked for that favor because I'm trying to ask this one first. But think about it. Like, our boss, Steven Spector, loves big things, big ideas, right? This is a big idea. This is a big thing.
It is, and this is what needs to happen for it to be executed
properly. He's occasionally
properly.
Asked me, hey, how can I help you guys do a better
show? What if we got a doctor's note signed by Creed Humphrey himself?
Yeah, or do we do it? I mean, is this the time? Because we don't want to do a sick out. We don't have to relate to that. We all have plenty of sick
out. Wait, what's a sick out?
We all just call in sick. And then,
like, the night before, we're like,
and then the guy who's
ache.
Training today, Christopher Tenpenny, is just on the board. And then Bink is hosting.
Good news
is the same thing.
Here's the good news. I already texted Bink.
He said he would do it.
I texted Bink. I said, hypothetically, if we needed you to fill in on Friday the 10th, could you?
We texted Dusty.
He said, oh, yeah.
Dusty also confirmed he would be willing to help out. So we've already found solutions. Bosses love solutions. They don't want to hear about your problems.
That's right.
They want to hear about your solutions. We have both a problem and a solution.
Like, this sounds absurd, but like, if you really think
about
it.
We're not really asking for the day off.
No, I'm going to be working. If anything, I'm going to be like, I worked more during vacation time on this than should have been reasonably considered. And well, look, we're going to be Santas in a week. That's at 4 to 7.
A lot going on.
Like, really? You know what?
Somebody on the text line brings up a great point. When Speck asks us how or why we all got magically sick on the same night, HIPAA. We just claim HIPAA. Sorry, dude. HIPAA. Actually, it's illegal for you to ask me that.
In fairness, Ryan's sick right now. I mean, it wouldn't be hard for the three of us to just be like, well, we got what Ryan got. All of us. Whole group. God. I don't want to. Look, that's an option we don't want to have to take here. That's a ridiculous one. All we're saying is, you know, in order to execute this, this is the day. Like, I looked through the calendar. I'm not like just choosing a day to give myself a day off from the show. This is the day that works. It just simply is.
Could we hypothetically do the show live on remote from
with
this
like
high
people
school?
Interchanging who's hosting?
Yeah, we just sort of take turns. It would be a sort of ragtag show. I mean,
wouldn't people prefer Binkley host the show?
The text line also is trying to help out because our listeners have been fantastic with supporting this. So does Cody want to make a more professional sounding recording of the Creed Is Higher song? They have a recording studio in Overland Park free of charge.
Wow. Absolutely.
Higher quality version of Creed.
Yes.
1000% willing to spend my off time, by the way, because I'll have to do that sometime between, like, I'll spend non-work time essentially going out there to professionally record it. Please take a photo of that gentleman's phone number. Absolutely. Like, whatever is going to get this done.
We got people tweeting at our boss now, tagging us and our boss in tweets. At Steven Spector, are you listening to the show right now? Hashtag let them take off. At Cody V. Tap, at Alex Gold, at Nick_Schwert.
Look, we have not brought this up with him. We were going to do it after the show.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting conversation at 2 o'clock.
Weirdly enough, I have fully talked myself into, after 24 hours of thinking about this, this is a very reasonable request, and they should absolutely do it.
Okay. We'll let you know how the conversation goes a little bit later on. Coming up next is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and when the Broncos made a certain draft pick, it was with the intention of Patrick Mahomes and also this other Chief. We'll tell you about it next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chiefs Red Half Hour at
every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. When Cody was asking me about the betting and what my thoughts were for the Chiefs game, also a reminder that you want a chance at $1,000. How about this? 2 weeks ago, someone from St. Joseph, Missouri won $1,000 in the nationwide Rocket Mortgage Pro Football Pick'em. You guys have heard me talk about throughout the season, audacy.com/picks. That's audacy.com/picks. $1,000 up for grabs each week. And you don't have to deal with spreads for that. You just go in, straight up winners. You go through, you select who you think is going to win. Who you think is going to win between Dallas and New Orleans tonight. $1,000 up for grabs each week. Last year, we had a $10,000 winner for the whole year. A few weeks ago, someone from St. Joe won $1,000. So it is very, very likely and possible.
I like that even though the season-long one, you're just like, it doesn't matter. It's still $1,000
yeah,
every week.
Yeah, each week, joining it's now. Resets. Find a way to pick 13 of the 16 right or whatever. You put yourself in a great spot. Great spot.
Working with this guy, by the way, he's very serious about setting up. He thinks it'll maybe take an hour or two to get a professional recording done of me.
Oh, the guy in OP. Thing. Yeah. I think we do need a higher quality recording for the Creed Humphrey.
For the video?
Yep.
Actually seems reasonable, honestly, if we're going to put this much into it.
I think so. You don't want to have the audio quality lacking.
No.
Put all this into the video stuff. Yeah. Come on now.
I mean, the professional videographer we're looking to hire right now, just as long as this, you know, we can get the day off next Friday. I mean, he's got two 4K cameras. This guy is very legit, Nick. He sounds like he really knows what he's doing.
He's direct. I actually went and watched some of his reels. He actually directed a movie starring the defensive coordinator from, remember the Titans? The, I don't want you to give up another yard.
Ooh.
Another yard.
Yeah. That actor, yeah. Uh-huh. He's directed a movie with that guy as the main character.
And that's football that's related. Fantastic. This is right in the wheelhouse.
Well, we're perfect. We're perfect with this then. This guy's our guy.
Yes, this guy's our guy.
No, that movie was football related. This movie wasn't football related.
We got the point. Yeah, he didn't shoot. Remember the Titans.
And honestly, it's not point. He doesn't need to understand because the video we're doing isn't even football related.
Not really.
Nope. It's on a football field. That's about it.
And I'll be wearing a Creed Humphrey jersey. Expected delivery time tomorrow.
The jersey.
So, big day.
The jersey, yeah.
Did you get the road whites?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. You have to go with the white uni.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he's wearing in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. 52 Creed Humphrey.
Perfect.
A lot of people keep asking, like, could we get Creed Humphrey to show up to this video shoot? To which I would respond,
only way to find out is if you add him a bunch on social media.
I don't think Creed Humphrey is going to take time out of his day on a Friday.
I think we'll get him to retweet it, the video, when it's all done and stuff, because he already quote-tweeted the song. So we'll continue to give you updates for the Creed Humphrey. Hashtag Creed is good on Twitter. Continue to use that. Hashtag Creed is good. But it is a Chiefs Red Half Hour. And going back to the NFL draft, when the Broncos were selecting, at the time, maybe they were going to take quarterback. And Justin Fields was available. They could have drafted Mac Jones. They chose to draft Patrick Surtain II, who has been very, very good for them this year. Quite. And it's probably going to be a 10-plus year pro, maybe an all-pro at some point, Pro Bowls. I think he's a stud. But they didn't go with the quarterback. They chose to go with a cornerback. And at the time, if you guys remember what their thought process was, it's like, look, we know we got Mahomes in this division. Can Patrick Surtain help us against Patrick Mahomes? Can Patrick Surtain II help us against Travis Kelce? And this was brought up again by James Palmer of NFL Network yesterday.
There was a thought when they picked Patrick Surtain at 9th overall that as a big body corner, one of the biggest corners coming out in the draft and also just won Defensive Player of the Week for his performance with two interceptions and one returned last week, would he line up against Darren Waller and Travis Kelce twice a year? Well, Vic Fangio just told us a couple minutes ago, if that does happen and he slides inside, which he hasn't been a whole lot, then you'd have to move some other pieces around. But he did say that's something we could do. Fangio said when you put a cornerback on Travis Kelce, he's 260 pounds. He's going to push him off the line of scrimmage and get physical. And so much of what he does with Patrick Mahomes is the karma between the two, as Fangio said, as they improvise with what they do. The Broncos do have a very speedy linebacker group that can help out in that sense. Fangio said it seems like a couple of different players will probably play a part in how they slow down Travis Kelce. And I did get a chance, Omar, to ask Patrick Surtain, is there any similarities between your old teammate, Jalen Waddle, and Tyreek Hill in the way they operate in small spaces, just dynamic playmakers that move at a different speed? He did say, I do see some similarities on film, but I think everyone knows Tyreek Hill is on a different level than anyone else in football.
At least Patrick Surtain the second is well aware that, look, Waddle's a rookie and he might be very talented, but
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, just a little bit different type of playmaker. As far as the Travis Kelce stuff, we had talked quite a bit a few weeks ago, heading into the Raiders game, I think it was, about how teams were playing Travis Kelce physical, but it took multiple guys. It's going to be interesting to see for the first time, what does Patrick Surtain bring to the table against Kansas City? Is he able to impact Travis Kelce at all? I mean, that was, we kind of laughed at it at the time of the pick that, oh, really? You think that's a solution? And I think he's very, very talented, but like that's going to help you guys against Kelce. We'll see. I mean, you take a look back at 2020 a little bit and see what Travis Kelce was able to do, not just in 2020, but in general against the Denver Broncos, as he does with most divisional opponents. He is very, very effective. Right, I mean, against the Denver Broncos, 8 catches, 136 yards in week 13 last year. Now, in the first matchup, I don't know the circumstances around that one, but in a 43-16 win, just 3 catches for 31 yards.
It's 43-16, that's what happened.
But 8, yeah, well, they just probably ran the ball all over early on in the game. But 8 for 136 the last time out.
And it's not good to be like, well, we held Travis Kelce down in a game we lost by 30. Like, that doesn't matter. You can hold Travis Kelce down in this game if you lose by 30. Because that's going to happen in any game. Someone's just not going to get these big, huge counting stats in a game in which it's a complete blowout. If this isn't right, then they still have absolutely no answer for the Chiefs' biggest mismatch problem on the team. Like, they've done a lot, the division in general has done a lot to try to match up with what Kansas City does well. And to a point, Denver's probably done it more than anyone else. Denver has tried to get fast and physical on defense and has been for a few years. And they have really gone after the model of how many great skill position players can we have. Their biggest issue has remained their biggest issue. They don't have a quarterback that matches
maybe not the
anywhere
right coach,
close to rest.
Knows.
They've actually done a slightly better job, I would say, than the other teams in the division in matching the other stuff up. Because really, have the Raiders, like, they drafted Ruggs, but they weren't dynamic every other spot on offense. Like, Waller was already there, and they're like, well, we'll draft Ruggs, and problem solved. We're the Chiefs offense now. And you're like, not really. There's still some other missing elements, but we get it. You're trying for it. And the Chargers have gotten worse defensively the last couple of times. The Broncos have actually done more to kind of solve some of these things. But if you drafted Surtain to put him on him and you're not even going to try, then what's the point? You should put, in any game, this is like Tyrann Mathieu on another team's best defender when they struggled at corner. You should put whoever your best defender is on Travis Kelce. I get the temptation to put Surtain on Tyreek Hill, but that's not, you're screwed on that one. I think almost no matter what. Because we talked about, he's become the possession receiver now on top of the speed. So Surtain being great to this point is not going to solve the Tyreek problem for this year. Like, you got to find a way, because to me, everything goes. The third downs go. All that stuff goes where Travis Kelce does during that stretch. And if you've got Surtain, you might as well try, because putting a linebacker on him, we know, is a failed method. No.
And I like, I mean, they go ahead and trade Von Miller, but Surtain and then Justin Simmons is one of the better safeties in football. Just got that new contract, this past offseason as well. It'll be interesting to see, and this is why I actually think the Broncos keep it closer than maybe people would expect, considering the issues the Broncos, yes, do have on the offensive end. But I would be actually surprised in this game because of that Broncos defense, Cody, if the Chiefs blow out the Broncos. I mean, I could see Kansas City winning by 6-7 points. You say, well, that's a lot in the NFL, but the Chiefs are 9.5-10-point favorites. I actually think the Broncos keep this closer than maybe on paper you would expect, and it has to do with some of those studs in the secondary that they have.
Yeah, I do.
I think will still be able to get his, though. I just believe Kelce having the bye week is massive for him. We all could acknowledge he was nicked up big time, played through it, whether it was the hand, whether it was the neck. He never was on the injury report, but that Bills game from that moment forward,
he was a bit, not a shell, but he was slow. He was a little slower.
Yeah, he got beat up in that Bills game. And so I think the bye week, if you're saying who maybe benefited the most from the bye week, there's two guys that benefited the most from the bye week for Kansas City. It's Travis Kelce and it's Tyrann Mathieu. Because Tyrann Mathieu, let's not forget, he had the knee issue the night before heading into that Cowboys game. He fortunately played. He's not even on the injury report either. I think the week off was as beneficial for Kelce and Mathieu as anybody on this team.
What's weird about the Broncos is they are sometimes good offensively, sometimes awful. They are sometimes good defensively and sometimes bad. And I don't know which version you get in any given week. Like, they scored 30 points against Dallas and 28 against the Chargers. You're like, all right, good effort. The Chargers defense is not very good, but you're like, all right. But then they only scored 13 against Philly and gave up 30, and only scored 10 against Washington or 17 against Washington in a win. And only 14 against Cleveland in a loss. I'm like, I don't know. They are, like, we joked about the Chiefs being you know, Jekyll or Hyde for a while. Denver is much more that way. They still haven't, and I think this is one of those like signs of a young team that can get better, is I don't think they've actually figured out what they want to be on either side of the ball. That's where like using Sertan here is big. Because, you know, and I know it's hard to be honest with yourself in this case, but it matters a lot more long term how you're able to stop Kansas City than it does in this one particular game. Like, so if you got to take a chance to put Sertan on Kelce, it's worth it. Like, it's worth it if you're Denver, because you're going to find out something about yourself. You got to switch it half, then switch it half. That's not the case. And then we start running into this because the Broncos defense or offense has been real hit or miss. And now the Chiefs defense has been really good. The argument that Arrowhead Pride has made, the argument maybe this is the best defense they've ever had under Steve Spagnuolo.
Well, look at where they're at now versus the first 5 weeks. I mean, weeks 1 through 5, the Chiefs had the most points allowed in football.
Crazy.
Historically bad. We talked a ton about that the first month. 163 points allowed. Now, since week 6, the fewest points allowed in football. 87 points. Guess who's right behind them? The Patriots defense. Then it's the Seahawks, who just aren't winning games despite their defensive performance. Then it's the Dolphins, and it's the Washington.
That's funny. Those are three of the teams that were giving up the most in the first 5 weeks.
It's amazing isn't that weird, how there's been a flip?
Well, in fairness, the Dolphins and Washington are like middle of the road, not the worst. Fair. They're 10th and 12th. But
if you look at this defense, and we took a peek week 4, week 5 before they turned the corner, and we were like, is there any hope? And we had looked that under Spags, second half of the season, there were multiple instances throughout his career where his defense would get better. And we saw one time already in his Kansas City history. And that was 2019, of course.
Sure.
And it's happening again. For it to be his best defense, though, what they're doing right now, which is not just being an average defense, they're as good as anybody in football defensively the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Then, yeah, then that becomes the answer to the question from Arrowhead Pride is yeah, it's the best defense under Spags if this keeps up, because it will be one of the best defenses in football. They've never had one of the best defenses in football. They finished 10th, if you just go by points allowed, 10th in 2019 when it was all said and done. That's their best defense they've had, was 2019. As bad as it was in the first half of the season, that was what helped them carry on to a Super Bowl. So for them to match that, they just have to finish as the 10th best defense in football. And if they continue on this pace right now, which is the best for 4 weeks, they've probably, I'm assuming they vaulted up in points per game to the top 12.
13th.
Okay, close, yeah.
I mean, it would only take them 0.1 points to be 12th and 0.2 points to be 10th. They are within less than a half a point away from a top 10 defense again. It is his best defense. I can't believe I'm even uttering that sentence.
From historically bad.
I was wrong, obviously, but I didn't think they could solve it. There was no evidence they were going to solve it.
Well, just not to this extent. They were going to improve. You and I talked a lot about that improvement, but from worst to one of the best.
Even then, you were about as optimistic as anyone I could think of as the defense had a chance to improve. Because I'm like, yeah, fine, they can be the 25th worst defense, not 32nd. And you're like, whoa, you know, they could be 15th or 20th. This is not impossible. And now what? They're the 13th best. They gave up more points than anyone in the NFL for the first 5 weeks of the season. Matter of fact, they gave up like the fifth most points all time through the first 5 weeks in NFL history. They were historically bad, and they are now what? The 13th, tied for 13th, best scoring defense in the NFL? That doesn't even make sense. They give up less points per game defensively than Tampa Bay, a team that you would largely consider one of the better defensive teams for a majority of the last 2 seasons.
No question. Now, Tampa's very, very banged up right now. They have injuries all over the place on defense, but yes.
Understandably, but still, you are in the company, and whatever, like New Orleans, right? Going into the game tonight. We were just talking about the game tonight. All right, it's the Cowboys, you know, it's like Cowboys and Saints, and the problem the Cowboys will have is the Saints have had a really good defense all year, right? That's a sentence you and I both thought.
Sure, and then we saw what the Bills just did to them, though, on Thursday night. Like, that's the question about their defense suddenly. But they're still
giving up the same number of points per game. Like, no, they're Cam not Jordan's in New England and Buffalo and Denver and Arizona category. But other than those teams, they are not far different from any of the other top 7 to 12 defenses you would have a conversation with. This is his best defense, and it's because of the pass rush. But they're also better at corner. L'Jarius Sneed, the way Rashad Fenton is playing, like that, and Charvarius Ward, who was a part of that other defense, the way those three guys are playing is better than the way the other three guys were playing. Chris Jones is still playing at a great level right now. It's like if they do have to kind of prove it for the rest of the season, but is currently played. They're playing better than that 2019 defense was.
While we're on defense, someone that, of course, the ending wasn't the way anybody wanted it to go for Eric Berry, but when he was right, when he was Eric Berry was as good as anybody in football. He had a great sit-down with Sam Mellinger over at the Kansas City Star. And there was a lot in there, and I encourage you to read it, about what he's gone through the last couple of years and everything about his story. The part that I wanted to focus on just for a second here, and as much as we all loved what Eric Berry brought to the table in Kansas City, and he's fitting that he did this interview the week of the Broncos, since we all know he did not like horses very much, Eric Berry said he hasn't ruled out playing again. Now, again, I liked Eric Berry a lot, but, man, you haven't
played. He's an all-time Chiefs favorite.
Yeah. You haven't played since 2018, man. You might not have ruled out playing again, but the other 32 teams, I think, have ruled you out from playing again. Like, you haven't played since 2018. You're not playing again?
Yeah, I think it's probably just, like, not wanting to let it go yet.
Quote, it's about timing with me. It needs to have purpose. It needs to make sense to me on why I'm going somewhere or why I'm doing a certain thing. So once I feel that, then that's when you'll see me with the uniform on. How much time do you think you have? Like, you know, how much time do you think you have?
None.
I'm playing it'll be 4 years here pretty soon.
Remember, he talked to a few teams a few years ago and didn't end up anywhere. The article's fascinating because, like, it sheds a little light on when he would have been saying things like, my spirit's not in it. And there was other stuff going on at that time, including, like, a serious car wreck with his family and stuff that would shed some light on those things being talked about differently or even being viewed a little bit differently. But the notion that he's getting back on the field at this stage, like, I mean,
Texland says, well, you know, Josh Gordon didn't play since 2018. Way different circumstances. Josh Gordon was banned from playing.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon was banned from playing. Why do you think Eric Berry hadn't been on the field?
I think it's because he didn't want to play.
Right, and that's a problem.
And that's fine. Like, if he doesn't want to play anymore, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if you read this article from Sam Mellinger,
he's also 2 years older than Josh Gordon.
He's 32 years old. He's about to be 33. If you read the article from Sam, like, you get some of the same things that kind of ended his time in Kansas City, where it just felt like he wanted the perfect set of circumstances in order to get back down there. And after everything he had gone through, you almost half don't blame him. Because when you were reminded what he did to get on the field in the middle of chemotherapy, going through all that stuff, you're like, my God, I mean, when this guy wants to play, he will do literally anything to get on a football field. Life changes. Your motivations change. Things change for players all the time for a variety of reasons. And if he no longer wants to play football, or it has to be the perfect circumstances in order to want to play football, then fine. Like, to me, like, that's it. Like, he's just trying to leave the door open because he hasn't personally ruled out the idea that he could still be back on a football field. Because, look, 32-year-old, 33-year-old players exist in the NFL. 36, 37-year-old players exist in the NFL. It just doesn't seem like he has the desire to do it the same way anymore, unless it is the perfect circumstance.
It's not even the desire
for him to go out there.
Look, and again, I know people are upset on the text line in my comments, whatever. Like, it has nothing to do with the desire. You haven't played in 4 years. You're 32 years old.
It's hard.
We all saw the amazing comeback that he had. It was unbelievable. Comeback player of the year in, 2015? Like, this, no matter how much you like the guy and how much he overcame in 2015, that's not, you don't sit out for 4 years and just come back and get a job in the NFL. You don't.
Not often. I mean, someone pointed out Josh Gordon did, but it really
again,
is very different circumstances.
Wasn't his choice, though.
Yeah.
He wanted to play. He physically could play. Nobody questioned that Josh Gordon in 2017, 2018 could play. He got suspended. Eric Berry, if I'm not mistaken, the last time we talk about 2018, but he was in camp with the Cowboys a little more recently than that, and he didn't make that roster. I just don't see it, man.
The one thing I wouldn't rule out with him is, as I pointed out during the chemo stuff, is like if he's like I'm getting back in football, I'm playing football again. Okay, he'll probably play football. I just don't know if he's going to come around to that decision making again. And again, this is one article. He's very private. He doesn't speak to reporters.
Yeah.
Like, even in this article points out that, like, friends and former teammates who had texted him have a hard time getting hold of him. He's a private person. He has his own motivations. Like, those things are there. Like those part. And, like, he functions like we all operate differently and are motivated by different things and all of that. And I just, like, anytime I read something about him, I'm like, that's fine. He seems happy. Like, he doesn't have to play football again. Like, him leaving the door was like, why? Like, yeah, it's fine. Just retire. If you don't want to play, it's fine. Like, no one's going to be like, wow, that guy should have played more. He had a great career for Kansas City. It ended a lot shorter than I think some of us thought it was going to end for a few, you know. But he doesn't have to continue down the road of keeping the door open for himself unless, you know, he really does want to play again someday. That locker room in general, like 2018, I covered that team like every day. That locker room in general, boy, tough read of a room. Really tough read of a room. Because, like, Justin Houston had some of that, like, when he was motivated, it seemed like he was in it, but he seemed like, and some of this could have been Bob Sutton, right? And the way the defense was performing at that time and the positions they were being put in regularly, despite the fact they were a successful defense before that point, they were a successful defense. It was just like they seemed like they had lost the energy to keep fighting for him or as a unit or whatever. And even still, in the playoff game, it wasn't their fault. They eventually got knocked down. Bob Sutton, like, they gave up a big play down, but they didn't let up 7 touchdowns in a playoff game. The offense couldn't score, which is probably another frustration or whatever. It's just a very different unit than anyone I've ever covered because it was Justin Houston and Eric Berry, Marcus Peters, and it just felt like everyone was pulling in the same direction at times when it came to, you know, some of that stuff, like not wanting to be open or talk about the team stuff, but then in opposite directions in others. It just didn't feel like a cohesive unit. Looking back at it.
It is a snitch line Thursday coming up around 1:15. Start thinking of those snitches yourself. Worker there at the office, family, you just got done with Thanksgiving. There's got to be some scoop you got off of that. Yeah. Come on now. 913-576-7610. The snitch line opened up coming up around 1:15. But up next, we get into the noon hour. We'll talk some more Chiefs football and what we could be saying on Sunday night if the result goes in the wrong direction.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.